I wonder if you know your grandfather's date of birth. I certainly don't. And anyway, it's a strange question. Why would you want to know the date of your grandfather's birth? It's not relevant in any way. It was a long time ago for me. It was sometime in the 1880s. His life had little impact on me. I knew him when I was in my early teens. He was profoundly deaf by that stage. And I can't say we had a relationship. What a contrast to who we're singing about and hearing about tonight, a child born 2,000 years ago. Millions of Christians are celebrating this birth all around the world. But what's all the fuss about? What is it about this child above any other child that could possibly be relevant, be significant in any way to you and me tonight? It's what I want to think about in the next few minutes. It'll help if you can see it through the candlelit gloom to have the reading we've just heard in front of you. And there's words in bold type there. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Who's this speaking about? Well, if you look at the start, it speaks of the Word. In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then as we read on, we find this Word being spoken of as the Creator. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So now we're being drawn in. It's saying that we're not independent men and women. We're actually dependent. We're dependent upon this Word, who we read is God. He is the source of all life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Not just that he was alive and living, all life, every life, depends on him for the life we have. And this isn't some kind of sort of force, a life force. May the force be with you. Not at all. As we read further on to the final paragraph, we read this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. No impersonal force. God making himself known. The Creator entering into the creation. The eternal Son of God stepping into our world. His world, coming as a child, blood and flesh like us. So this Word made flesh is who we know as Jesus Christ, who is spoken of here as the light, the true light that gives light to every man and woman, God himself in person. We love light, don't we? Especially if we're in the dark. I remember going into a cave many years ago now in the Peak District. The guide warns you that once you're deep inside the cave, that he'll turn the light off in a minute so that you can see how deep the dark was. He'd warn you first, he'd reassure you that it wouldn't be for long. And so the lights went out, and it was indeed pitch black. You could not see your hand in front of your face. And after a few seconds, you begin to think, what if the light didn't come back on? How would you ever escape? Leave them off too long, and people would begin to panic. We fear the dark. It's why as children, we often had a night light when we went to bed, because we fear the dark and we hate the unknown. We love the light. And just think what happens to the darkness when the light is switched on, whether in a cave or a dark room you enter in the evening. The moment the light goes on, the darkness disappears. It's banished by the light. No amount of darkness can drown out the light. So when the Apostle John says of Jesus in the reading we've just had, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it, he's stating the obvious. Darkness hasn't overcome light. It can't. And it's speaking about God, that God cannot be overcome. So we might ask, what happened then when Jesus was born, when this light of the world came into the world? Well, the shepherds we heard in that reading were dazzled. In the dark, it says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were drawn like moths to the light of the world, the one announced as the Saviour of the world. How different, though, to the king, to Herod. We haven't read the account of him tonight. But in lots of the, in one of the Gospels, you find the account of Herod. When he heard about the birth of Jesus, he did not welcome him. He wanted to extinguish the light. He was repelled by the light. And so he ordered what was called the slaughter of the innocents. All children in the region under the age were to be killed because he hoped to entrap Jesus and to extinguish him, to kill him. But Jesus escaped. His parents had been warned of Herod's evil intentions. 30 years later, the religious authorities, like Herod, were also repelled by the light of the world. They wanted Jesus dead, and so they trumped up charges and nailed him to a cross. Had the darkness overcome the light after all? Here's a conundrum. Our conundrum, if you like. We love the light and fear the dark, but at the same time, we do the opposite. We love the dark and fear the light. For just as there was darkness in the heart of Herod and the religious authorities, so the Bible tells us there is darkness in my heart and in your heart. And if you're not sure, listen to this and see what you make of it, because a little later on, John in his gospel says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. He's talking about Jesus. But men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. I wonder what you make of that verdict. It's saying that Jesus, the light of the world, has come into the world in all its darkness and its evil, to do what light does, to banish darkness, to deal with it. But instead of welcoming Jesus and receiving him, the world has rejected him and retreated into the dark. Because in the face of such light, we're shown up. We're revealed for what we're really like inside our dark hearts. So the birth of Jesus is unlike my grandfather's birth. It's pretty significant. And perhaps like Herod, we're disturbed by it. Oh, not by a child in a manger, but by what he came to do and what he said. But I hope you'll hear why it's such good news, why we can celebrate this birth. And we'll come to this in a minute when we've sung our next carol, which is what we're going to do now. And you'll see that it says, in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. That is the light we've been speaking about. I was pleasantly surprised last week to find there was a good stash of chocolate in the cupboard for Christmas. So it was a surprise to me to find, when I went to raid it a couple of nights ago, that it had all gone. Naturally, I assumed that my wife had been secretly scoffing it. But no, on inquiry, she said, I've hidden it from you. Go on, I said, you can trust me. Your secret will be safe with me. But I'm still in the dark. It's a bit like what we do with Christmas presents, isn't it? We hide them under beds or at the back of cupboards. We don't want people to find them. We want our secrets to remain secret. And isn't this the story of our lives? We want the secrets to remain hidden under lock and key in our hearts, not exposed to others. So you know how you see those celebrities leaving nightclubs and they have a coat over their face, or the president of France leaving his lover's flat under the cover of dark, fearing the flashlights of the journalist's camera. We don't want employers going back over our Facebook history and finding some embarrassing, revealing photo from the past that does us no favours. See, the verdict we read just now is true of us and the state of our hearts. Men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not evil. That doesn't apply to me. Afghan gunmen slaughtering innocent schoolchildren, IS soldiers and their brutal regime, that's evil. And it is. But listen to the words of Jesus. Here, if you like, is the light of the world shining his light into our hearts, revealing what they're really like. And it's not pretty. This is what he says. From within, Jesus says, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, adultery, greed, envy, arrogance, and folly. The list is actually much longer. All these evils, he said, come from inside the heart. We want to apportion the blame outside. But if Jesus is who he says, the light of the world, then if we come into the light, our evil, our wickedness, our lies, which we thought were secret, will be revealed for what they are. And so we hate the light. We try to hide from it. We don't want to be caught in the flashlights of his searching light. We fear our deeds will be exposed. But here's the good news of Christmas. Here is why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Because actually he comes to resolve that conundrum I spoke about. Remember what we said earlier? We love the light and fear the dark. And at the same time, we love the dark and fear the light. But we need not fear the light. Hear this tonight, if nothing else, because our evil deeds have been dealt with. All our darkness, all the secrets of our hearts, which we're ashamed of, the evil deeds we're guilty of and dread anyone discovering, Jesus has dealt with them in his death on the cross. And that dark day, he chose to face the darkness, to confront it. Of course, it must have looked as if the darkness had overcome light as he hung there. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead to demonstrate God's victory over death and darkness. God, who is light, cannot be overcome. He banishes darkness, whether it's wickedness or evil or lies, permanently. The record is erased. There is no evidence left. And how does he do it? By God forgiving us. It's what Jesus comes to do on the cross. He takes all that stands against us before God and removes it permanently and replaces the darkness with light. And because the record of the darkness is gone, well, so is the fear gone. Let me explain by way of an amnesty. When I was at college, I used to use the library. It sounds old-fashioned saying that, but this was in the pre-Wikipedia and internet age. We would borrow books but forget to return them. But at college, they had a fine system for late returns. I went away on holiday and came back to find a substantial fine. I ignored it and just hoped somehow it would go away. But as much as I buried my head in the sand, the debt kept on multiplying. And I wasn't the only one I discovered. Fellow students were in the same pickle. But then, unexpectedly, the college declared an amnesty, a 2-week period in which books could be returned. All the outstanding charges would be erased and no questions asked. It was a great offer, but to take up that offer, I had to go myself and return the books to the library. I did that with some trepidation because as I went, I thought, are they really as good as their word? Would they, after all, get me in there and then nail me and not let me go until the fine had been paid? Would they leave a black mark against my record? After all, I had been in the wrong. But no, they welcomed me, they smiled at me, and I could return to the library. not fearful anymore of being exposed, but in the knowledge that I was forgiven. It was good news. But how much more is Jesus good news? Here's what he says: I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What an offer. To benefit, I need to come out of the shadows and into the light. And it's not something I need to fear, because he declares, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And this is because he has paid the fine. He's paid the price of the darkness in his death to give me life. Now, of course, if you want to live a life rejecting God, who is light, you need to make sure you hide from him, because your darkness will not be able to withstand his glorious light. As we said earlier, once the light is on, the darkness cannot survive. So this child, whose birth we mark at Christmas, is our lifeline. Maybe we've never taken him seriously. Each year we've left him in the manger. It's easier that way, we think. But then we miss out on the greatest of offers, to follow him and never walk in darkness, but have the light of light. I've got some little booklets here. It's called The Case for Christmas. If you want to find out more about this Jesus, this light of the world, why his birth and life, his death and resurrection are significant, come and ask me. I'd love to give you a copy. Or come back here, there's details on the back page. Or let us know that you'd like to explore these things more. We run a little course called Christianity Explored, and many have found it to be really helpful. But as you go out into the dark tonight, just think, you'll need light. You cannot get home without it. You can't drive your car at night without the lights on. You cannot live without light. Why then try to live without the one who is the light of the world?